And that brings us to Proverbs chapter 31, and we begin tonight with the very last section of 31. 16 months ago, what did you say? 15 months ago it was? 15 months ago, almost, or almost 16. I didn't think we were ever going to get here. I thought it was going to take a lot longer. So I'm very excited. Tonight we have the noble character, and I know many of you have been waiting for this and are excited, and I hope that it is rewarding and enriching. So I will start this evening, and what we will do, because we know that in the Hebrew text, this was an acrostic of all the Hebrew letters, so each verse is representative of a letter in the alphabet. So if we were to do this for our alphabet, we would have 26 verses, right, in this section, because just identifying the character and just kind of going down through. But it's a beautiful picture. And again, a little bit of background. Possibly Bathsheba wrote this to King Solomon, whose nickname may have been King Lemuel, but we also saw last week, if we keep things in consideration with in line with verse 30, it could have been another queen from another distant province that wanted to write about to her son, King Lemuel, what a noble woman looks like, and what she was praying for him, you know, to marry. But regardless of who wrote it, we have it, and I'm excited about it. So verse 10, here we go. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. When we read this verse, what are we describing here?
The noble character.
Her character? Yeah, character.
Scarcity.
Yeah, that's a good one. Her value. Here you go. If you're taking notes, I mean, we're just going to kind of read through this and just highlight each one of these as to what we're looking at. What is the character? What is the value? What is it is it scarce? She's a rare find, right? All right, verse 11.
The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain.
Okay. What characteristic are we describing here?
Faithful.
Trust. Mm-hmm. She's trustworthy, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Verse 12.
She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life.
Okay. What are we describing there?
Faith.
Faithfulness. Okay.
I think it's just love.
Love?
Or evil to people, but you love them.
Yeah, we're describing someone who's being joyful.
She's
who's
kind.
Happy, kind. She's helpful.
She puts him or all others under God.
Yeah, very good. So verse 13.
She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands.
Okay. What are we describing here?
Making them clothes.
Do what?
Making them clothes.
Okay, making clothes.
Diligent worker.
A diligent worker. Good.
I think we flipped from talking about their relationship as a husband and a wife to like more along the lines of the behaviors that she has.
Yeah, the characteristics or behaviors that she has. I wrote down that she was resourceful. She is resourceful.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So this says that it uses the alphabet. Where is that? a letter of the alphabet, each verse.
Right, so because I don't speak Hebrew, I don't know.
Oh.
Remember the alphabet
it only does it in Hebrew.
Yeah, the Hebrew alphabet begins with alpha,
beta,
whatever.
That's the Greek alphabet.
But, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know
alpha, omega.
So
I Googled it. I'll translate. No, you have to have the whole thing all translated.
Yeah.
I couldn't get anywhere.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah.
It's A-L-E-P-H.
Elf.
For Elf. And then Beth, B-E-T-H, is the second, and then Gimel, and then beyond that, I'm not so.
Is that for just this section that we're reading today, or was the alphabet started last week?
Oh, no, just this section.
Just this section.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound like a mom thing to do? Write a poem with them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I will tell you, the commentaries that I read all said that it was a acrostic. I can't prove it because I can't speak it. I can't read it. I don't know what they look like. I don't even know what the letters are.
I've never
met them. So
okay. Well,
that's what the commentary says.
Okay. Somebody translated it. So.
Yeah. So somebody figured it out, right? And I appreciate that.
Well, and from what I read, because I read a little bit of it today, they were saying that part of the reason why they did that was so that it was like a memory tool. You know how we have, you know, using acrostics to, you know, that truly was really the reason why, was because it was a memory tool, so that they would be able to remember it. They would have the first letters, and you know. So I thought that was
It's kind of like you know, if you ever hear someone speak the alphabet phonetically, you know, it's Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta,
right.
Echo, blah, 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 right? It's like that. They just put words to all of these. Yeah.
You said alphabet and the alpha.
Yeah.
Delta. And I was like, blah, 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 like Scooby.
So do you think they taught this to their young women? Like, on how to be a good wife?
Yeah. What kind of characteristics you can come out of that? It's in a book where King Solomon would actually say, hey, you want to marry a noble woman, this is kind of what you want to be looking for, right? If I was looking for a wife, this is what I'm kind of looking for, someone who's trustworthy, who's resourceful. Rare, like a diamond.
So when I was reading, there was, to go along with your question, because I was like, okay, wait a minute, let me look up some history today. They're saying here, the passage describes the kind of wife the Christian man should pray for and seek after. And it gives guidance or a goal for Christian women, showing the character that she can have as she fears and follows the Lord. So I think sometimes we flip it. It's all about what we should be, when in actuality, it's really talking to a guy or talking to these young men about what kind of woman they should marry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought it was interesting.
My dad always had a comment. He said, you need to look for the qualities that you would like to see in your wife, in the women that you date. But then he would add this. But just make sure that the qualities that you are looking for in your wife are the qualities that you are demonstrating yourself.
That's good.
Because we as men have a tendency to think, well, this is what the woman's supposed to look like, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, sure. But I also need to behave that way as well. I need to be trustworthy. I need to attempt to be resourceful. I need to be worthy and be valued, right? I need to.
Usually, I think Paul talks about that in the Bible too. Like, there was this one verse I was stumbling on, I can't remember what it was, but it helped me out Because if it says, like, if you're called to be single, if you're called to be married, if you're called, whatever God calls you to do, still obey God, mm-hmm. eventually something's going to come out of it.
Right.
So that's what, and then, like, God's calling me, I'm like when I read scripture, I have this gut feeling that, you know, I keep telling people, if you're called to be single, if you're called to be married, get married, if you're called to be with somebody, but don't just rush it, you know, just stop searching for it. God will show you the right person to be with if he calls you to be with that somebody, but until then, I'm still busy trying to disciple people, so I don't have time.
Right. There you go.
So yeah, but I can't remember what verse that is now.
Mm-hmm.
But that brought that up, like you said.
And see, the kind of person that you're trying to be, you'll run across a woman, if you're called to be married, that's doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
So verse 13, we had resourceful. So what is verse 14? Go ahead and read that one.
She's like the merchant ships, abounding with treasure. She brings her household's food from far away.
Oh, we're talking about women
tonight? Yeah, we're talking about women
tonight. I think the S stands for slow instead of Scooby.
What would you say?
I said I think the S stands for slow, not Scooby.
Yeah, slow. Yeah,
so what are we talking about in verse 14?
Women.
Oh, yeah.
Provider.
What?
Provider.
A provider?
Sheep,
yeah. She's a coupon shopper.
Yeah.
She's searching for the bargains.
Resourceful.
Hmm?
Resourceful.
Yeah. So what's the idea that she's like a merchant ship?
Consistent. Merchant ships are coming in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she looks for the best food at the best prices, and so she does it. She travels to get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she brings her food from afar, meaning she's going out there to find some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
She knows how to cook.
She knows how to cook.
That's a man thing.
It is. Fills my belly every week.
I try to cook up, burn stuff, even microwaves.
All right, verse 15.
I taught my boys
that. Oh, that's me. I'm sorry. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants.
Okay, so what do we have here? What are we describing?
Dedication.
Dedication?
She gets up early and fixes the food.
She cares for more than just her husband.
Yeah, very good.
She takes, like you said, she takes care of everyone in her household.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's something that keeps popping out at me, that she rises while it's yet night.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the first one up at night. So mm-hmm. is she taking that time with God?
Yeah, she could be. Yeah, she could be. I know that to cook bread back then, you had to get up and fire up the oven, literally.
And, it wasn't just a knob.
So
good.
You had to get it hot. You had to get it baking.
It could also mean that the woman, she's taking so good a care that she starts early and she ends late because she has more to do and more to take care of than the other people in
the
household.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she's kind of like a diligent worker.
Yeah, so she's committed.
She's committed, she's faithful, she's kind, she's loving, she's mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She gets up early to exercise.
Yeah.
That's the next person. Yeah, that first.
Well, you have to think, they probably had to go get water.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, you know, turn on the faucet.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. You know, like you said, it was, she had to do firewood of some sort and start a fire. And she hadn't even done any cooking yet. It was just, you have to get all of those things ready, you know.
That's your workout.
Right, right. I was going to say, there's the workout, right.
Isn't it awesome to live in 2025 where, you know.
Yeah, we're pretty spoiled.
We just go turn on a button.
Yeah,
and
very spoiled, right. So, let alone, you know, she probably had to grind the wheat to make the flour to, you know, all of the things. I mean, what did, yeah. And we complain if we have to do some of those things.
Yes.
Yeah. If the power goes out, you know, we're...
Well, what a blessing that we have those things that we can now fill our lives with other things.
Other things, exactly.
We can
exactly.
Bless others and volunteer.
Yeah.
Sleep in.
But we'll still get up early and go to bed late, even though we have all this stuff.
Right.
Everybody would be complaining for sure. There would be people who wouldn't know what to do if you're talking right now. We'd have to relearn all of those skills that it took to do all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she did.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me how what Jesus had to do back then, because I just realized he was a carpenter, and carpenter took a lot of hard work back then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He would make stuff. It's so cool. It talked about how like he would make stuff out of anything, like sharpen his tools. And
interestingly, there's now debate that the word carpenter is actually representing a stoneworker.
That's what I thought.
Not necessarily a woodcraft.
Yeah.
So
he's good at moving stones.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that brings whole new meaning to
roll
that.
Roll that dude out of the way.
So that's Toby.
Hello.
All right, so we are in Proverbs chapter 31, and we're getting ready to start in verse 16.
She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings.
Okay. So what does this describe?
She's on a budget.
She what?
She's on a budget.
She's on a budget?
He's put her in charge of the finances. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's doing the finances?
I think she's continuing. Not only does she... you know, go to the merchant ships and she brings food from afar. Now she's planting the vineyard. You know, she's another, you know, it's like another level of using or finding resources to support her family.
Yeah.
As the picture comes together, it's kind of like she does everything. She can be everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the man can do everything, the woman can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
She's trustworthy enough and wise enough.
Yeah, I wrote down the word industrious. That's what I see her as. She's very entrepreneurial. I have that later on, that word another time, actually in verse 24. But here we see her being very industrious. She found the vineyard. She's planting the vineyard. She's overseeing what's happening.
Doesn't want to be dependent on things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would all agree with this statement that so far all the things that we have listed, which are rare, she's worthy of value, she's rare, trustworthy, helpful, resourceful, finds a bargain, she's a provider, dedicated, and she's industrious.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a leader, are we not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing here that would say she's not, to me. She's definitely a leader, and she has a command of what's going on in her home. So verse 17.
She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong.
Now we see her working out. She's a weightlifter.
I think by the nature of this whole list of things that we're reading, that I mean, that's physical strength to do any of these things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what words would you use to describe her then?
Physically strong.
Physically strong. She's a hard worker. She does some hard things, and she can do it.
Ain't scared of the mud.
She's not scared of the mud. She's a strong, independent woman.
Mm-hmm. She girds herself with strength. It makes me think of putting on the armor of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
A warrior.
Yeah.
A warrior. I like that.
Like a warrior?
My commentary says, these words are remarkable in light of the many restrictions placed on women in that ancient world. Mm-hmm.
So verse 18.
Mm-hmm. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night.
What does it mean to perceive? She perceives her... What was the next word?
Merchandise.
That her merchandise
is
good.
What is it to mean... What does it mean to perceive my stuff's good?
She does her work well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She knows what it's worth.
She knows what it's worth. She's knowledgeable. She's aware. Mm-hmm. She's paying attention.
Well, it's like if you go to the grocery store and you look at the fruit and, you know, you look at it and you're like, okay, wait a minute. That one's half bruised. You know, it's, I think like you said, it's the perception or perceiving of, okay, what's the best possible thing that I can get?
Yeah. If she's sitting at home making a blanket, she knows what someone wants before she even starts. So when she goes out, it's going to be a profitable opportunity for her.
So you're saying if she's making Tom bananas, she knows the phone number.
Nice drop of the hit, buddy. She knows what they're worth.
We're going to have Tom bananas next week to celebrate the end of the bananas.
That's what I was getting
hit on. Even the imagery of like the lamp never goes out at night, you kind of... It's in a better sense of like the Scrooge McDuck, where it's you're just in there, she's counting her profits. She's spent all day at the market. She's evaluating, oh, my stuff is worth this much. Time to do this again tomorrow.
Yeah, good.
I kind of take it as it's God's light that's shining through her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't tire because she's getting light.
Good.
I would say, like, the integrity in this, constant integrity and frugal, like the profitable, you know, but intentional and everything here.
Yeah, everything is intentional. Good. So, verse 19.
That's you, Mindy.
I'm ready.
Pass the turtle.
Oh.
There you go. Now we know.
It's Scooby's turn.
She puts her hands to the... What?
The staff.
The staff. And her hands hold the...
Spindle.
It's a spindle.
Okay. So, Sleeping Beauty. Do you remember that movie?
Never seen Rumpelstiltskin.
So what
So
what this is, the distaff is a spinning wheel, okay? And you spin the wheel, you sit there, you spin the wheel, and you would take the flax or the cotton or whatever it is, and you would create string, wind it all together and wind it up on the spindle. And then they would take that and make something out of it.
I've never seen one. Nope.
Pictures are worth 1,000 words.
Yeah, there you go.
So she holds in her hand, she holds the spinning wheel, and she grasps the spindle with her fingers, and she's creating that thread, right? Putting it all together and spinning it out. So what are we describing here?
Creative.
I said that she was diligent in repetitive work.
She's very particular about everything that comes into her house and about everything that she does.
Yeah.
And every work that she does. And she uses her time well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quality.
I think it goes to strength, because when I read those, I'm thinking, well, she's holding this thing out here with this arm and doing this with this arm. My arms are tired reading it.
Yeah.
19 and 20 kind of could tie together in almost like a, it could potentially be a generosity thing.
Yeah. Good. So let's read verse 20.
Oh, that's you.
Yep.
She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy.
So what are we describing here? What kind of action are we describing here?
Generosity.
Compassion.
A willingness to be kind. Willfully going out of her way to be kind.
My commentary says the virtuous woman works not to get rich, but to give to the poor. So it's like she works extra hard to make extra so she can give it away, not to get rich.
Good.
It's kind of that, yeah, I was going to say, it's she's done all this work and created all of this with her resourcefulness to not only take care of her family and her the servants that they might, you know, have, as well as, you know, the poor and needy also. She extends that those resources to beyond her family.
Good. So verse 21.
She doesn't worry about winter because her family has plenty of warm clothes.
Okay.
She must be
mine. Mine says
she prepares.
The household is clothed with scarlet. That's interesting. How is scarlet? How do you get from scarlet to warm clothes?
They're double garments. Scarlet. That's what my definition says. It says clothed with scarlet, and then the side it says or double garments.
Prepared.
Mine says expensive wool.
That's thick. Yeah, so she spends the wool extra thick.
She's really good at the spindle.
Yeah. Good. She's a planner. She's prepared. Verse 22. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple.
She's fancy.
Fancy? Let's get real. What does this really mean?
She's beautiful.
She's beautiful. That's right. What else?
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Queen.
She's yeah. What?
Like a queen.
Like a queen.
Yeah. She clearly must have money to get purple linen.
Yeah. Purple is a royalty color, right? Very, very expensive. But what is it? Okay. So let me give you a preview. We're getting ready to start study the book of Esther next. And we're going to talk about reality. Okay, so we're going to talk about things that are somewhat uncomfortable. So I'm going to kind of give you that layout, because we all know, maybe we don't. There's a lot that happens in the book of Esther. But in this particular verse, what are we describing here? She puts fine linen on the bed. What's that for?
Well, she wants her husband to
take her to bed.
She cares what he thinks.
Exactly.
Take her to bed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you.
No, you're comfortable.
Okay.
Yeah, so
he wants her to desire her too when she dresses like that, I guess, and silk and purple, and she wants to look good for him.
Yeah. So exactly, that's what I'm talking about being real, right? I wrote down that she dresses her room with elegance for her husband, and she dresses herself in elegance for her husband so that she could be desired by him, right? Mm-hmm. That's the way I see that. She's putting on some fine linens for him, and because she likes them. I mean, let's be facing. She's a strong, independent woman. She can wear those clothes just for herself if she wants to, but she's doing that for a purpose.
And he obviously treats her well because of everything that she does.
Exactly.
And that in turn gives her strength.
So in verse 23, we actually see how all of this results. Verse 23, what does it say?
It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land.
Okay. So what does it mean to sit in the city gates? We've studied this a couple of times in other ways and in other books that we've studied. What does that mean to sit in the city gates?
Usually like judges.
Yeah. Those are where the wise old men sat, and they would give proclamation as to, you have a disagreement, you go to the wise guys at the front gate, and they say, yep, you know, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where does her husband sit?
With the leaders.
With the leaders. He's with the leaders.
Mm-hmm. But her care of him shows when he's at the gates doing the things that you just described.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all the things that she has done up to this point allows him to be respected. Right?
Mm-hmm. Which goes back to verse 11. So, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
That's almost like I went to Corinthians, there's a few verses you can go to, but I went to Corinthians, and Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, says, but I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and that man is the head of every woman, and God is the head of Christ. So just like putting things in order is what it's, the way that I see it. And then if you adore your husband, or if you adore your wife, that's also putting in order and showing compassion and leading. If he's a leader, as an elder, somebody's an elder of the land, then it's also glorifying God. If that part of the home is healthy, then it's going to express it to the church, to the body.
Correct. Good.
Yeah. This also says that Proverbs 12:4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband.
That's something we read months ago. Yeah. Good. No.
No, that was good.
That's good.
Yeah.
So verse 24.
She makes seals, linen garments. She delivers belts to the merchants.
Okay. So she sells garments and makes belts. Yeah, this is where I said, you know, she's more like an entrepreneur. She knows what other people need. She's going to see to it that she can get it out there.
Oh, the way to get one
out of
there. That was very illustrious.
I'm not sure she does all of this in one day.
Not right.
Just going to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we are in verse 25.
Yeah, I'm still lost in this chapter. I'm like, huh?
What part are you lost about?
Just the whole chapter. I'm sorry.
Okay, so what we're describing are characteristics of a noble lady, right? We're also making those evaluations back and forth between what does that look like for me as a man? What does that look like for the ladies, right? So what we're doing, you know, in this last one where she's making garments and sells them, and then we say, hey, she's an entrepreneur. She's actually, she owns her own business. She's making stuff to sell to other people,
okay.
Right? So she's very industrious. So each one of these verses is a description of an activity or a characteristic of this person.
Okay.
She's a supplier.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it says that, you know, supplies sashes for the merchants. And so the merchants aren't making them. She's actually supplying them with that.
Well, back
so
in verse...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
In verse 15, it says she's got maids. So she's not doing this all by herself. It says she's assigned tasks to her maids.
Yeah.
So she's got help. She's not just a one-woman show.
Right.
I mean... Technically,
she is, but she's a leader. She has people who are following, right? Good. So are we all on the same page? You caught up? Kind of getting what's going on then?
Yeah.
All right. So verse 25. What do we say here?
Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. Strength and honor are her clothing. She should be proud of what she does.
She should be prepared.
Yeah, prepared. Does anyone have a different translation? Says something different?
Smiles at the future.
Okay.
Mine says laugh at the time to come.
There you go. Yeah, that's what mine says. Smiles at the future, laughs at the time to come. She's clothed with dignity. You were getting ready to say?
Mine says she smiles at the future knowing that she and her family are prepared.
Yeah. So, what are we describing here? What characteristic or what behavior are we describing?
Faith.
Mm-hmm. Confident.
Endurance.
Do what?
Endurance.
Good. Because of this last part, she can laugh at the days to come, mm-hmm. or she can smile at the future, or she is laughing because she's prepared. I wrote this. She has a sense of humor, yet she's respected because of all the things that she's done. You know, she can sit back and go, I'm ready. It's all good. We can laugh about whatever you want to. I'm prepared. You just bring that shovel on over, it'll be all right.
So, yeah. Right? She gets everything done in time.
Yeah. Okay, so verse 26.
She opens her mouth and skillful in godly wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue, giving counsel and instruction.
Very good. So what would we describe here? How would you describe this lady?
Wise.
Kind.
Well spoken.
I think
intelligent.
Smart, intelligent?
Yeah, the words that come from her mouth are a reflection of her inner strength and wisdom and all of those characteristics we've been talking about.
So would you maybe summarize it by saying she's a God-fearing, faithful believer, and she believes what she says, and it's coming from not just the words off her tongue, but it's coming from her heart. It's not just head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. Have you ever heard that statement? I've got head knowledge, but she's got some heart knowledge because it's all coming out.
And right? Her actions show it.
I think this verse in the last verse speak to our formula with the relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, very good. She has the fear of God.
Wisdom equals fear of the Lord plus knowledge plus understanding. Mm-hmm. Relationship with Jesus equals accept the God's gift, embrace the truth, and live obediently.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So verse 27. Go ahead.
So in 20, if she says she opens her mouth in wisdom, and so I would assume that maybe she's somewhat reserved, because especially if she's already a leader, then she's only speaking when she really needs to, not just out there speaking all the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe very reserved, or maybe somewhat even quiet.
Yeah, quiet, more, yeah.
She's intentional about what she speaks. Mm-hmm. She's not talking just to talk.
The opposite of the gossip and the slander.
Yeah. What was the word you said?
Reserved.
Discerning. It's another big word we've had in here a lot. I think everybody knows that's not my favorite word. Yeah, I used to be told to be more discerning when I was in school. So verse 27. Go ahead.
She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle.
She's never idle. Wow.
I'm tired. tired already. Any thoughts on this particular verse? What are we really talking about here?
Idle hands make. What is? How is that saying? Idle hands make the temper evil or something. I can't remember how it goes.
Yeah, I remember that saying.
Yeah,
idle hands. Says,
or the devil's work.
Yeah,
idle hands are the devil's work.
Idle hands are the devil's playground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say when, like, if she's out in the garden, then coming in, doing laundry, going to the kitchen, she literally is, she has eyes everywhere. You know, stop doing that. And then your husband's coming home. Oh, I'm at the market, these people are being rabble rousers. You know, She's moving and shaking. She's seeing everything.
So I heard that thing my mom always told me, like when I try to speak to someone, she's like, I got the eyes in the back of my hand watching you.
Yeah.
That reminds me of that. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah. So a description here we could say is that she's aware.
She's aware.
And do what?
Not lazy.
Yeah, she's not lazy. She's participating in the conversations going on, and she's aware of what's happening.
I think watches. She watches over the ways of her household. I think it means even more than that. It means she's instructing them as well when they stray, right? With that patience and kindness of the previous person, the wisdom. So when she sees someone saying something at the market that represents her house that's not good, she takes care of it. She watches over it.
Good.
It kind of ties in with it, just keeps building too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We got three more verses.
So, verse 29.
No, 28.
28.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her.
The children thing is more impressive than the husband thing.
Well, I think that kind of goes back to watching over her house because children want discipline, right? So they're going to respect her all the more. Yeah.
So she's honored by her family.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 29.
Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all.
So what does that mean? What is that?
This is one of the, I don't know, my verse 29 has parentheses on it, as if this is something other people are saying about her. It's not, I don't know. Does anybody else have parentheses on the other?
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is what people in the, like, in the market are saying. You know, what the elders are saying, her servants are saying about her.
It may also be her husband. In the NIV, it makes the statement a little more clear. It says, many, quote unquote, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And if we kind of pick that up from verse 28, I probably should have continued because there's a colon after the word her. So her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her, colon. This is what he's saying. Many women do great things, but you, my dear, you surpass them all. He is, what would you describe this as? He is what?
Praising her. Right?
He is praising her. He's in love with her, right? He's actually paying attention to her.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving her praise when, how often we don't do that. Sometimes I don't praise her enough for the things that she does around our house. And that's my fault, right? I need to maybe to be better at that, right?
She's smiling.
Yeah. So verse 30.
Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised.
Okay. So what are we describing here?
Charm is
everlasting life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this is just a temporary world.
Good.
I think it's the one fears is the key.
Do what?
Fears is the key.
Fear?
It's the Lord.
Oh, fear the Lord?
Should be really praised. It's basically what it's saying that I'm slowly getting this, that she's always stayed faithful, always stayed wise. She speaks words of wisdom. She's faithful. So fear is the Lord. She's like, she's faithful to the Lord. And so that she's been praised for that because she's been faithful and she's been wise. And she's been,
And
keep coming back to the Lord and keep coming back to
My
bad.
Your beauty's going to fade, right?
Yeah.
Beauty is skin deep. Beauty is skin deep. That's what I keep coming back to. Mm-hmm. So the charm and the beauty will go away, but loving God and having everlasting life, that's forever.
Her spiritual life.
Right.
Well, she's done all these things because she fears the Lord.
Right.
It's not the other way around.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Charm and beauty aren't always bad. You can, because she fears the Lord, she can still be charming and beautiful.
Yes.
And use it for good.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always have to be deceitful. It can be.
It can be.
If that's what you concentrate on.
It doesn't
on.
Matter if you're beautiful. It's in a sense, it doesn't matter if she's beautiful or not, I think, in a sense, too. Because even though it kind of somewhat says that she is a leader and she would be beautiful, it doesn't exactly say it.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't matter whether you're... mine says vain. Beauty is vain.
Mm-hmm.
Worthless, useless, at the end of the day.
Well, let's say it this way. You know, we have some 20-somethings in our room tonight. Someday, do what?
So we all look
red light.
Someday, here you go, right?
Wait a minute. You like this too?
Yeah, see?
Beauty comes from within, especially if you love the Lord.
Yeah, so when we really talk about beautiful things, it's our heart, right? Yes, things are pretty. People are pretty. People are handsome. And then we grow old and we get wrinkles and we still look pretty and we still look handsome. And why is that? Because if we have the fear of the Lord, it's our heart that's shining through. It's God that's shining through.
King Saul was handsome. Jezebel was probably beautiful too.
I bet she was.
They were wicked.
Wicked, wicked. Right?
But they were wicked on the outside. They were wicked on the inside, but they were beautiful on the outside. So to look at them, they're beautiful. When I look at you guys, I don't see what your face looks like. I sense what you're feeling, you know, what you feel inside, or how I feel about you guys inside. So,
I feel a lot better.
I was going to say that, but he took that. So
I knew I should have taken my dirty clothes.
All right, let's read the last verse. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 31. Here's the last verse.
Here, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her and negate.
And what do we describe that as?
Give her.
So basically, what she's done all the way through this.
Respect.
God's giving her the grace, the mercy,
Yeah,
she's getting the reward.
I think she's getting
the reward in this verse. It's like, you know, give her of the fruit of her hands. You're getting paid, right? And then they're praising her in the gates. Mm-hmm. I mean,
so she has a place of honor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
She has some notoriety,
mm-hmm.
right? And yet, clearly, she must be very humble, right?
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful picture.
Humble.
Yeah, humble.
Gentle as well.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this alludes whatsoever to her eternal reward? says the gates, I thought of the gates of heaven.
Yeah, so if we would like to, you know, make that leap on the spiritual side of what we've been talking about all throughout Proverbs, you know, this is kind of what it looks like to be someone who is following Christ. We're diligent. We're resourceful. We are not idle. We are aware. We are helpful, compassionate. We're prepared. Right? I mean, so how can we take this last part about a noble woman? How can we take this and how can we apply this? So we just have a few more minutes left. How can we apply this to our life this week? Clearly, we can't do every single one of these things every day, right? What does it say about this person? She was constantly doing something, right?
Doing the best for the Lord. Yeah. I think all this is a picture of a beautiful Christian life.
Yeah.
And our work for the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I think Margie hit the nail on the head
when
she went back up to our definition. And what you just said fits perfectly, that relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting his gift, embracing truth, living obediently. She's wise. She fears the Lord. She has the knowledge and understanding of what she needs to do each day to fear the Lord and have a relationship with him, which results in all of this wisdom that you see. And she's not doing I think the thing of it is too, she's not doing any of this on her own. This is all the, you know, trusting in the Lord, fearing the Lord. It's, you know, we sit here and go, I couldn't do all this in a day. Well, you're not supposed to. You know, I think it's true because she's relying on the Lord for everything that she is doing in every way possible.
Very good. So when we look at this and relate it to our own character and the things that we are attempting to do in the Lord today, you know, one, I think that's the application that we have out of the entire book of Proverbs. And I think these last two chapters have kind of summarized all of these Proverbs, right? We had Augur, who had all these wise sayings, just looking at it from a different perspective. I think Eli made that comment 2 weeks ago and last week, or 2 weeks ago. And then now we have this picture of a lady. And again, all of these attributes that we have looked at throughout the book of Proverbs. And it's kind of summarizes it for us to look at that and go, do I behave that way? Am I always aware? Do I want to pay attention to all the things going on around me? I'll be very honest. Some days I don't want to pay attention to what's going on around me. Sometimes I don't want to be the guy who goes out and says hi and helps the neighbor and does whatever, right? But that's okay to do that. We don't have to do it all the time, but we need to be aware. Mm-hmm. We need to be willing. We need not just be sitting in front of the TV and being idle, right? Mm-hmm. When there's something that we could go help someone with, that would be a good idea.
So you're saying that when I look at it, we get our priorities mixed up.
Sometimes.
It's like I had this, I was taught this, illustration or whatever. It's like, there is, say like you got work, and you got someone broken down. You know, sometimes it's sometimes you gotta make that sacrifice, bring life to work just to help that person. That person's more important than your work. Or like say like you're going to like a game or something like that, or you're going to a movie, But it's more important in a movie of someone broken down. It's more important. It's like, what is your priority in that? And it's like, that kind of like hit me on the head. I'm like, oh wow, okay.
Yeah.
Because we don't, as humans, we really don't look at the things like that. And that's what I think the Lord is trying to teach us through this.
I think also it's just a lot of this, there's a lot of being innovative in it, in that like, oh, she's making belts and making clothes, but then she's also making 3 or 4 extra to give away.
Yeah.
You know, she's very, she's smart and practical with things, you know, getting the extra hour out of the day. So just, I think it's also something that, you know, when we do our daily devotionals or our spiritual learning, but I think also just critically planning how you do things, and you know, I can spend 2 extra hours doing this and help this person out. Give yourself, in the moment, you're not going, it's all hard in the moment to for one, realize that somebody needs help, and to actually do the work. So it's kind of like, just be intentional with helping each other, helping people set that time aside, however, your monthly, weekly, and say, I'm going to get ahead. And just, I mean, for me personally, like if I don't have it, an alarm set on my phone a day in advance, I'm going to forget everything. And it's, you know, and that's just my selfish, lazy self, you know. But
yeah.
That's what I like about retirement.
You just want to work to like the outline of how you should live, right? Because it's I've kept up in the line scouts. We always had the 11 points, which was trustworthy, helpful, courteous, kind, obedient, thrifty, brave, clean, reverent. I left one out. Good. But all those, you can tell Baden Powell took that from...
Yeah, Scripture.
Yeah.
All of that's from Scripture.
Yeah. And that was how we tried to teach the boys, as they grew up to be men, how to live. So. Courteous. Every time you go through it.
I hope that this study has been rich for you. I hope it's been rewarding. At the very beginning, it seemed very daunting, I think. To me, it was, anyway. Every single verse. We have looked at every single verse in Proverbs. And
that's something.
That's something.
Study I've never done. And probably not one I would have done willingly. I mean, but it is, I wish I would have done it a lot earlier in my life, you know, because there's so much good advice. I mean, it's incredible. They ought to teach it in high school.
Yeah, so.
New Testament's like verses that are like Saul references Proverbs all the time. We have an IUPUI Bible study campus that we go to, and I mean, there's what we should do there. Like, dude, I can't remember the proverb, but I remember talking about this about 14 times over the last year or whatnot. But it's, you know, it's those are guys who meditate on this over and over again, and then you know you have the. You have the gospel happens, and Jesus does his wonderful work, and it just brings even more light to this knowledge, even more purpose, even more go power, push power of just why these teachings are so important for us as Christians, and what that means for our souls. So I mean, it's a lot of information, but these are the bricks that you know that they use in the New Testament to build these great long sermons, these great long letters, and everything. It's it's our, in my eyes, this is the stuff that's very useful, hard to get through, yeah. But
it's the foundation.
You remember things.
That's like when I was growing up, we always, in our family, we always did Bible study, but we would go through a Psalms every day and then a Proverbs every day. Never all at once, but you know, it was bit by bit, you know, throughout the year, you have a little bit of Proverbs every day, which is good, but doing it all at once is kind of, I don't know. You should think more on it. What?
I don't know if I call 17 minutes all the
time. I found myself all the time going, that's a concept in the book of Proverbs. I don't remember what verse, but we talked about it many, many times.
Yeah.
There's like multiple verses about that in Proverbs. It's so funny, just as life has happened, Proverbs addresses this very thing, you know, kind of thing. Or some, if I'm listening to somebody, you know, on some little tyrant, you know, on, you know, Facebook or something, you need to read the book of Proverbs. So, yeah, it's been funny to make that connection.
I still got, I'm putting it down there like a, I put a portfolio or something like that, with a bunch of notes. It's like God called into my heart just to, like, hey, you need to be more organized so that way you can reflect on some more stuff.
Is that what this is for?
Yeah. So I got a bunch of Proverbs notes, and I got a bunch of church notes, and then I got like, so also that way it could just be all in one binder or two or three.
Nice.
So that way I can like reflect and read my Bible. When I go to Proverbs, I can flip for one of the sheets that we were on and look at it and still reflect on it. A lot from reading the Proverbs is just like, hey, you need to be more organized, or hey, you need to do this more.
Yeah, good.
So,
and keep in mind, we can't do all of this at one time, right? This is a lifetime, and this takes a lifetime.
Yeah, especially my organization.
Well, next week we will begin a new study. We are going to study the book of Esther. So if you would like to start reading ahead, go ahead and do that. I would actually like to, I am striving for us to finish the book of Esther before Christmas. So.
I know, right?
I know.
It's not that far away.
No, it's not. That's a problem for me.
How many books of Esther? It's like 4 or 5, right?
Chapters?
Chapters? Is it
9? Yeah, about 8 or 9, yeah.
68 verses in each chapter.
10 chapters.
And there's a lot of things that happen packed in that small book.
Yeah. So it's our goal, whether we make it or not. You know what? I don't really want to be held to a timeline, because that's not how God wrote it, and we're just going to roll with it. But just so we have a goal, right? If we have a goal, we'll just let God lead and move on from there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are truly an awesome God. We thank you, Lord, that you saw fit for King Solomon to record each and every single one of these proverbs, to collect them from far countries and put them in your word. Oh, you are so wise. Pray, Lord, that as we conclude our study in Proverbs, that we would just begin to change our lives, to walk with you, and see that each and every time that we have a conversation, there's something in Proverbs that addresses it. There's something about my behavior that I need to change. Encourage us, cause us to have great hope in you, Lord, and know that you are a living God who gives us the word to grow and learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen.